Amen. Keep praying. Keep praying for Ukraine. Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. And if you need a Bible, you can pick up one of those pew Bibles. And if you turn to page 1136, you'll find Romans chapter 12. Yes, my voice is a little weak. I was yelling a little too much at Disneyland on Monday and Tuesday, and it hasn't quite recovered yet. So I'll do my best. Dr. Paul Brand. He was an internationally renowned surgeon. He is now home with the Lord. He wrote a superb and fascinating book called Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. He talks about the amazing diversity and interrelatedness of the parts of the human body. Speaking of the body's cells, he writes this: I am first struck by their variety. Chemically, my cells are almost alike, but visually and functionally, they are as different as the animals in the zoo. Red blood cells, discs resembling lifesaver candies, voyage through my blood loaded with oxygen to feed the other cells. Muscle cells, which absorb so much of that nourishment, are sleek and supple, full of coiled energy. Cartilage cells with shiny black nuclei look like bunches of black-eyed peas glued tightly together for strength. Fat cells seem lazy and leaden, like bulging white plastic garbage bags jammed together. Ooh, I have too many of those. Bone cells live in rigid structures that exude strength. Cut in cross-section, bones resemble tree rings overlapping strength with strength, offering impliability and sturdiness. In contrast, skin cells form undulating patterns of softness and texture that rise and dip, giving shape and beauty to our bodies. They curve and jut at unpredictable angles so that every person's fingerprint, not to mention his or her face, is unique. The aristocrats of the cellular world are the sex cells and nerve cells. A woman's contribution, the egg, is one of the largest cells in the human body, its ovoid shape just visible to the unaided eye. It seems fitting that all the other cells in the body should derive from this elegant and primordial structure. In great contrast to the egg's quiet repose, the male's tiny sperm cells are furiously flagellating tadpoles with distended heads and skinny tails. They scramble for position as if competitively aware that only one of billions will gain the honor of fertilization. The king of cells, the one I have devoted much of my life to studying, is the nerve cell. It has an aura of wisdom and complexity about it. Spider-like, it branches out and unites the body with a computer network of dazzling sophistication. Its axons, wires carrying distant messages to and from the human brain, can reach a yard in length. I never tire of viewing these varied specimens or thumbing through books which render cells. Individually, they seem puny and oddly designed. But I know these invisible parts cooperate to lavish me with the phenomenon of life. My body employs a bewildering zoo of cells, none of which individually resembles the larger body. Just so, Christ's body comprises an unlikely assortment of humans. Unlikely is precisely the right word, for we are decidedly unlike one another and the one we follow. From whose design come these comical human shapes, which so faintly reflect the ideals of the body as a whole? The body of Christ, like our own bodies, is composed of individual, unlike cells that are knit together to form one body. He is the whole thing, and the joy of the body increases as individual cells realize they can be diverse without becoming isolated outposts. I thought that was so great. Amen. Now, last week, if you remember, Paul reminded us that the church is like a human body. This corporate entity has as its head the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all in union with Christ as believers. All the body parts of the one body. We're corporately united with Christ. We are His body. And the church is absolutely marvelous in its makeup, manifesting unity in diversity, in the plurality of its members, and in the variety of our gifts. There's also unity under Christ, unity in diversity. Not unity because of uniformity or through uniformity. Each part of Christ's body has an important and distinct function to play, benefiting the whole. Now today, as we continue in Romans chapter 12, Paul is going to talk specifically about how we, who are many, yet one body, how we have different spiritual gifts. And why? Why, Paul? What's God's plan for Christ's body? Well, let's see together. I can't wait to explore this with you today and going forward. Our sermon title, as you see, is Different Spiritual Gifts. Allow me to read for you, starting at Romans 12, verse 1, down to verse 8. Paul says, "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, brothers and sisters, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship, your true worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another." And then this, brothers and sisters, verses 6 to 8. "And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness." Okay, so now notice verses 6 to 8. Paul is giving us specific teaching on the spiritual gifts. He talked generally about the body, unity, diversity, but now we're going to get into the specific spiritual gifts. What is a spiritual gift? How many of them are there? What's their purpose? Where do they come from? Do I have one? Great questions. Now, to understand better the important biblical teaching about the spiritual gifts, what I want to do this morning is I want to give you some crucial points. I want to build a basic understanding of the gifts by summarizing biblical teaching. This should be very familiar, very basic. For some of you, maybe you've never heard it before, but I'm going to warn you, this is the easy part. Because going forward, as we talk about the gifts, we're going to have to get into some deep water, especially when we talk about the temporary versus the permanent gifts. We're going to talk about all of it. We're going to talk about prophecy. We're going to talk about apostleship and all the other gifts in the days ahead. But today, just kind of a simple overview to make sure that we're all on the same page, summarizing biblical teaching. So here's the first point. Ready? Notice, point number one, write this in. Every Christian has a spiritual gift. Every Christian. That's right. No Christian is left out, not one, not you, brothers and sisters. Notice verse 6. "And since we have gifts," that's it. Paul affirms it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which we turned to last week, we're going to go there again this week. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. "But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Paul is speaking of spiritual gifts, the manifestation of the Spirit. To each one is given that manifestation. 1 Corinthians 12:11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. To each Christian then is given a spiritual gift, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. He distributes to each Christian a gift. Now remember, the argument of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 would completely collapse if some members of the body could say to other members of the body, we don't need you, you have no spiritual gift, right? Paul says instead, no, all Christians are gifted, and therefore all are needed. Now, Peter also writes to this effect. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Peter says, as each one has received, listen, a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, let him speak, as it were, the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so as by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So then I ask you, are you a Christian? And if you say, yes, I'm a Christian, well then, you have a spiritual gift. Every one of us, brothers and sisters. Well, when did I get one? Did I even know this? Am I supposed to feel it when it happens? When did I get one? Well, notice that next point. Here's point two. We receive our spiritual gift at salvation. At salvation, right in that word, salvation. Okay, let's think this through. Each and every Christian is part of Christ's body. Romans 12:5. So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. I forgot to put my little pad up here. I realized someone waxed this and it's really slick and my sermon slides down. All right, I just remembered that. Okay, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. We have many body parts in Christ's one body, Romans 12:4. And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, each Christian is immersed into the body of Christ at conversion. Now, since the gifts are given to build up the rest of the body, they must then be given from the moment of your conversion. You are placed in the body, and you are immediately necessary to the body, 1 Corinthians 12. If Christians could be in the body without a spiritual gift, again, Paul's whole point in 1 Corinthians 12 about the indispensability of each member, well, that would just fall apart. And further, as I said, non-gifted members could say they don't matter, and gifted members could say, you're right, you don't matter. But all that is ruled out by 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Further, passages like 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11 that I just read to you, they teach that each Christian has a gift, and that must point then to receiving our gift at conversion. Or some wouldn't have it yet. And if some Christians don't have it yet, well then Paul or Peter or the other New Testament writers, they would need to instruct us about how to get that gift first so that then we could use it to serve others. All the gift passages they teach or they imply, every Christian is gifted, meaning we must receive our spiritual gift at salvation. You didn't do anything to receive it. It happened when God converted you, when he saved you through faith in Christ. Now next, notice point three. There are different spiritual gifts given to the church, and not every Christian has the same gift. I mean, we might think, well, there are different gifts and we all have all of them. No, there are different spiritual gifts, and not every Christian has the same gift. Different gifts, not all the same. We're not supposed to have the same gift. And that, brothers and sisters, is by God's sovereign design. Here's 1 Corinthians 12:4 again. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 to 30. Paul says, now you are Christ's body, there it is again, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. Listen to this. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? The expectation is we answer, no. No, we don't all have those gifts. But be zealous for, be enthusiastic for the greater gifts. And I show you a still more excellent way. Now again, notice Romans 12, 6 through 8. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, look at the list. Let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Well, there's seven right there. That's not an exhaustive list, as we'll see, but Paul is listing them off. Okay, so then there are different gifts. There are different ministries. No Christian, of course, has all the gifts, nor do we all have the same gift. And that means we really do need each other. That's the way God designed it. Diversity and unity, unity in diversity. Now, what else do we need to understand about spiritual gifts? Point four, notice, the spiritual gifts are bestowed sovereignly by God. The spiritual gifts are bestowed sovereignly by God. So for a second week, turn over with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I've already referred to it, read from it. Now we're going to read from it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to start at verse 4, and I want to read down to verse 11. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. Paul says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Did you notice all the spiritual gifts mentioned there? Again, not an exhaustive list. Well, as in Romans 12, so in 1 Corinthians verses 4 to 6, there is unity in diversity based on the triune God. Did you see that? Verse 4, the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, the Lord Jesus. Verse 6, God the Father. Paul lists off the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All the persons of the Trinity are involved. Now, in the Trinity itself, in the Godhead, we see unity in diversity. We see three persons, but there is only one God. God the Father is God. God the Son is God. God the Holy Spirit is God, and there is one God, and only one God, only one being. And so it is with the body of Christ. There are these diverse gifts, ministries, effects, but the same God. Now, how did you get your spiritual gift? How did I get mine? Answer, the spiritual gifts are sovereignly given. They are bestowed on us by God as God chooses. Verse 7, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Again, talking about the spiritual gifts, they are manifestation of the Holy Spirit. He gives them. He gives them. Verses 8 and 9, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. Okay? Verse 11, notice again, his sovereign will, not ours, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Isn't that amazing? Incredible. Chapter 12, verse 18, but now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. So, I mean, that should blow us away. We should say, wow, I am not in the body of Christ by accident. You are not either. You are placed as a body part, distinctly gifted by God Himself, by divine design. In other words, brothers and sisters, think about it. God thought of you, God saved you, God gifted you. You are intentionally placed by Him into Christ's body. That should encourage us immensely. Those are the kinds of things we need to tell ourselves when we get discouraged. The same is said, by the way, in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Listen to this. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also bearing witness with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, notice, according to His own will. According to His own will. Listen to that. Sovereign gifting. Did you hear that? Spiritual gifts from the Holy Spirit according to His own will. So then at the point of your salvation, you received a spiritual gift from God according to His sovereign discretion, His sovereign will, not yours. And that should excite you to know that God in His infinite wisdom gifted you just as He figured would be best for the body of Christ. Wow. That is fantastic. We look around at our church, PVBC. We look around at the church around the world. This didn't just happen by accident. This is evidence of God's sovereign, masterful work. But, we ask, why has God gifted you, brothers and sisters? Why has He gifted me? Why did He give us these spiritual gifts? Let's see the answer to that question now with point five. Notice with me. Spiritual gifts are for serving others in the body of Christ. They're for serving others. They are not for us ourselves. They are to be used to serve others. And please take this to heart, brothers and sisters, what I'm about to say. That means that no gift, no ability, spiritual or otherwise, is of value if it's not used. Did you hear that? If you have a spiritual gift and it's not used, it's of no value. So use your gifts to serve others. That's God's design. That's the purpose of all the spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. That's your spiritual gift. Why? For what purpose? Listen, for the common good. It was given to you by God the Spirit for the common good, says Paul. It's not all about me, but rather it's all about humble service of the body of Christ. It's serving my brothers and sisters. They need me. I need them. We all serve one another. 1 Corinthians 14:12, as Christians, we are to use our gifts to build up the church, says Paul. Or to read to you again, 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Serve one another. A selfless act of love, regarding others as more important than ourselves, Philippians 2, 3 through 4. Like Christ. Okay, well, since no spiritual gift is of value if it's not employed to build the church, well then, point 6 follows. Notice, we are commanded to use our spiritual gift. Brothers and sisters, to make it clear, God has given you a spiritual gift. He expects you to exercise it and put it into practice. He expects that. He commands it. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a special gift, employ it, use it in serving one another. In fact, as I've read this verse to you several times now, Peter in 1 Peter 4:10 says, employ it as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You have been given many things to steward by God, and this is one of them, your spiritual gift. We are not owners, we are managers, and that's true of your spiritual gift. It's been given to you by God, and it's required of stewards that they be found faithful. So, brothers and sisters, God wants you, God wants me to take what He's given to us and be a faithful steward. Be a faithful manager of it. Put it to use for the purpose for which God gave it. We're supposed to use it as those who will give an account of our stewardship. What did you do, Paul Phillips? What did you do with the gift I gave you and called you to steward on my behalf? Now, back in Romans 12, this is also seen here in Romans 12, verses 6 to 8, God commanding us to use our spiritual gifts. It's not an option. So notice again, verses 6 to 8. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now maybe you noticed, as I was reading that and you read along, you noticed in verse 6 those italicized words. Did you notice those? Let each exercise them accordingly. Now let me explain. You see, the New American Standard Bible, along with most modern translations, they're trying to give us the nature of Paul's teaching here in verses 6 to 8. You see, as he lists off each gift, he attaches a phrase to each one. Notice the end of verse 6. If prophecy, and then he attaches this, according to the proportion of his faith. Or notice verse 7. If service, in his serving. He who teaches, in his teaching. Verse 8. He who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality or generosity. He who leads, he attaches diligence. He who shows mercy, he attaches cheerfulness. Now, these qualifications of each gift in verses 6 to 8, they appear to underscore an underlying command sense, a command sense. For example, verse 6, the idea would be, if a person has the gift of prophecy, let him what? Use that gift according to the proportion of his faith. Verse 7, if a person has the gift of service, let him use that gift in his serving, and so on. So in agreement with most commentators and translations, the New American Standard Bible rightly assumes what is called an ellipsis in verses 6 through 8 and fills in the ellipsis with an imperative verb, let each exercise them accordingly, those italicized words. Again, we are commanded to use, to exercise, to employ our spiritual gift. Okay, got it. I'm ready to use my gift. In fact, I'm excited to do so in obedience. I want to serve the body. Okay, so where do I begin? Well, let me move on to application. And the application this morning is going to be pretty extensive because I want to talk to you about a lot of different things. First, let me tell you that we're going to go through all of the spiritual gifts listed in verses 6 to 8 of Romans 12. That's the plan, Lord willing. I'm not going to duck any issues, okay, about the temporary, the permanent gifts. We're not going to duck them. We're going to face them head on. And I'll do my best to explain them to you. But even now, before we define all the gifts, where do we begin? Do I have to wait till Pastor Paul teaches me about every gift? And then do I have to wait till I fully understand it before I can even start to serve? No, that would be ridiculous. Where do we begin? My advice to you is just start serving the body. Like when? Now. Just start serving the body. You don't need to know your gift mix to do that. You're commanded to serve. Just start serving. And these categories, by the way, as we'll see as we go, they don't seem hard and fast. There is overlap here between these different gifts also. Teachers also exhort. Pastors or elders, they teach and lead. Those who show mercy also comfort. That's the gift of exhortation. All that to say, we don't need to precisely identify our spiritual giftedness before we begin to build up the body. No, you and I need to start that right away. Whether gifted specifically in these areas or not, we're all called to serve, right? I don't wait and say, wait, I'm trying to figure out if I have the gift of service, and until then, I'm not going to serve. Let's say you find out you don't have the gift of service. You still have to serve, right? And are privileged to do so. Every one of us is called to teach in some capacity, even if you don't have the gift of teaching. We're all called to exhort and encourage and comfort others in Christ. We're all called to give, even if you don't have those gifts. We're all supposed to lead in some capacity. We're all supposed to show mercy. No, I can't show mercy. See, God hasn't given me that gift. Well, you're awful rough. You're kind of a mean guy. Sometimes just not gentle at all. I know. Blame it on God. He didn't give me the gift of mercy, okay? No, of course not. We see the fallacy of all of that. So start serving, continue serving, and as you see God burdening you with a certain ministry or ministries, you will serve in that area. You'll see certain things you do bear fruit, others do not. You may say, you know, I believe the gift of teaching. But when people hear you, they're always wondering and scratching their head and saying, I just didn't get that at all. In fact, you raised more questions than you answered. Okay, if you hear that repeatedly, the body will help you confirm your area of giftedness. Brother, you don't have the gift of teaching. Okay, but I really see this other area of ministry that thrives when you serve. Things will become clearer. You'll be able to maximize your efforts as you serve. Now, let me get even more specific about PVBC, our church. Think of so many different ministries in the life of our church. Just take the service this morning, right? Up front, praise God, we have our musicians, we have our vocalists, we have our instrumentalists, we have other public ministries of praying and teaching and preaching. But there are so many other corporate ministries of service, often behind the scenes, like that bulletin that's in your hands or those sermon notes. Someone had to type that, print it, fold it. The church sign, did you ever notice? It gets changed every week. There are people who usher at the doors. People clean the facility. Diaconate preparing the communion. There are children's and nursery ministries. The grounds are kept. There's sound and lighting and PowerPoint and live streaming. There are the extensive ministries of our school. And you may not be here during the week, Monday through Friday, but we have hundreds of kids in our school. And that ministry goes on whether you see it or not. family night dinner, other ministries during the week, etc., etc. There are then this variety of gifts and unity and diversity, and we need each other and all of the individuals who compose the body and each Christian's unique, distinct ministry. So now, what I'd like to do is I would want to ask you to respond in some practical ways about what I want to talk to you about. So everybody grab one of these registration cards, okay? Go ahead, just reach forward. They're somewhere around you, okay? Pull one out. Think, oh, that's what that is. Maybe you've never filled one out. Maybe you're new to the church. So I would like everyone to take one of these, okay? And we're going to go through some things together. And I would actually so appreciate for you to write some things down. For me, for the elders, for the office, for the church. So please, what I'd like you to first do is put your name on the top. Just put your name on the top. Remember that in school? The test would come back and the teacher always would have to point out the lunkheads. Okay, whose test is this? You didn't put your name on the top. So please put your name on the top. And my first question to you is, so that we can function better as a church, do we have your current address and phone number? Okay, so my guess is for most of you, we do. If you've moved recently or if you're new to the church, please put it down. We would love to be able to contact you regularly or in an emergency. So if you're not sure if we have your address and phone number, please put that down. This is going to go in the offering at the end. Now I'm going to ask you, as you're writing down your address and phone number, to do some other things. So here's my next question. You see, we pray every Wednesday morning, and my question is, do you have praises that you want to share with our church? I hope you'll begin to do that regularly. Or prayer requests. See, we don't have time in the service anymore where we stop and we encourage you to write down your praises. That's why I'm doing it today, to remind us that I hope you'll do it every week, whether we stop in the service to do it or not. Maybe it's something you do before the service, or maybe it's something you do after the service and you drop in the offering box. Because we want to praise the Lord with you, and we want to pray for what is on your heart and in your life. So I want to encourage you right now. There's your name, there's your number, current address if we don't have it. And then maybe write down some praises. What do you want us to join in with you so we rejoice with you? Write down some prayer requests. We will bring them before the Lord on Wednesday morning. Notice on the back of the card, you can put an X through confidential. If you want what you write down to go only to me and the elders, just put an X right there in confidential, and we'll pull those out. We won't publish that for the whole church, but I assure you, I will read it, and I will pray for it, whatever it is. So jot those things down. I hope we'll start doing that regularly. Sometimes our Wednesday morning prayer roster gets a little boring because we're not seeing a lot of regular input from you. We want to pray, and we'd like to know, what do you want us to be praying about? I will read them all. So with the elders. Mark confidential if that's what you want. All right. Now, let's talk about some service opportunities. Because you have your card, and I'm going to want you to write some things down, or I'm going to send you to some different people in the life of our church. So let's start with what's called family night dinner. Okay? Now, this is great. I heard the news from last Wednesday night that over 70 of you ate at family night dinner. There was no food left for Jason and Brandy, and that's a good thing. They actually like that, okay? But you know what? That's an area where we could use some help. It's very simple. I will take a meal just by myself, or I'll help someone out. Jason and Brandy are right here. Can you guys wave your hands? You can talk to them and say, you guys are almost doing that every single week. This is way too much for you guys. I want to help. I want to take a night. Or if you'll train me, I want to help somebody else. Just talk to them, okay? Talk to them. If you want to write it on your card, I'll give it to them. We'll follow it up, okay? Secondly, on Sunday morning, do you ever notice you go out there and you have refreshments? Praise God. Okay, try to keep those kids. They have their own little section. Okay, kids, eat over there, but don't come to the adult side and scarf down that stuff. Okay, talk to the ladies in the lobby. I want to help out. See, like, this is a ministry of our church. I want to be a part of it. Think like this, brothers and sisters. You know what? New babies, someone's in the hospital, they have needs. So how can you get involved? How can you come alongside, make a meal, clean up a room, whatever it might be? Let me give you some other ideas about how you can be involved. Maybe you're new to the church. Attend a flock. Our flocks are meeting today. The details are in the bulletin. We want to take this larger group that you look around, you see here, and we want to make it smaller. And there are flocks that meet today. You can be a part of them. We have small groups that meet. We put it in the bulletin. For men, for women. Our Excel students meet. Our high school and junior high students meet. We have Awana. We have our Spanish ministry. All throughout the week, you can find the details in your bulletin. You can talk to Pastor Sam. You can invite people. We try to have every age group covered in ministry. That's there for you. Here's another thing I want to invite you to start thinking like if you don't already do this. Take the four sections of our church, right? Okay, now, we are admittedly pretty much creatures of habit, right? You mostly know, if you haven't figured this out, I'm going to pretty much always be sitting right there, okay, Lord willing. And I look around, and most all of you are in the same spot every Sunday. Is that bad? No, I don't think that's bad. But here's how we can use this to the advantage of the kingdom. I may sit over here and not be able to get to know those folks as easily over there. Okay, but start somewhere. So let's say you regularly sit in that section right there. Familiarize yourself with the people that sit there so that when you don't see someone or you don't see a family, you're actually going to say, I want to help in the shepherding ministry of this church. I don't see that family or that person. I'm going to call. I'm going to check up. I'm going to be a sheepdog of my section. I'm going to be a sheepdog of my section, my section, my section. When I don't see someone, I want to find out, how are they doing? How can I come alongside them and serve them? Now, maybe you can't do the whole worship center, but you can do your area. You can notice who's not sitting around you that normally is. Give them a call. Follow up. That's an amazing ministry that you can have. Here's another one, sixth application, okay? Maybe you just start in your area, okay? Just like we were talking about the last one. I'm pretty familiar with the people right there. I sit in this section, I'm pretty familiar. Oh, there's a new face. There's a new family. Have we not all been new at some point, right? I'm getting a little uncomfortable because I like to know everybody's names, and lately I haven't known everybody's names, okay? I'm trying to learn them. So when you see someone new, what are they hoping for in their church experience? Well, they want to worship the Lord Jesus. And I can tell you, they also would hope to find a loving body that reaches out to them. And you can do that. I don't know you. I'm Paul Phillips. What's your name? And can I get to know this person and welcome this person? I mean, I've told you before, it's not like my family has been inconspicuous in the past with 9 kids and Donna and me. And we've been surprised at times to visit a church that we've never been to, and nobody pays any attention to us. Like, no one even welcomed us. Hello, there's 11 of us. Someone could come over and say hi, right? They didn't. So I know what it's like. You know what it's like to visit somewhere. You don't know the people. It's kind of awkward. It's uncomfortable. Okay, there's my section. I always sit right here. And there's a new face. There's a new family. Go out of your way. Reach out to them. Welcome them. Show them the love of Christ. Get to know them. That will do wonders in the life of our church. Let me talk about another ministry. I don't know if you know it. I love to see it. We are bursting at the seams with babies, okay? I love when they're running around. They're talking to me in the sermon. I can out-preach them any day, right? But that's okay. I like to hear from them. Praise God for all of the babies and all of the children, okay? I still remember when I came to PVBC over 20 years ago, and our former senior pastor, who's now one of our missionaries, said when he came to PVBC, so now we're going back about 30 years. Look around the room as I say this. He said Pleasant Valley Bible Church was predominantly a church of seniors. Okay, now that's not bad. We love our seniors, but you want to have all the ages represented. And if you're predominantly seniors, and if you find that your congregation is getting older and older and older and dying off, well, your congregation in time is going to die off, right? So praise God. I mean, I love to see the babies. I love to see the young couples, the young families, as well as all of us olders up to the age of 58 and beyond for me and others, right? Praise God. That's one of the things I love about our church, is that we have all of the different ages represented. But back to children's ministry, we always have a need for more help. And I saw Greg Mason and Jennifer earlier. Greg, where did you go? I saw him. Did he go out? Okay, Greg. All right. So, Greg, can you wave a hand over there? All right. So, we are always in need of help with children's ministry. Parents especially. Just talk to Greg and say, you're right. I have benefited from that ministry. I want to volunteer. I want to help out. Right? You can write it down. You can talk to Greg and Jennifer Mason. Here's another ministry. Did you know? I hope you do, but if you didn't, we have a prayer chain that you can put anything on about anyone. And some of you are not on it. And it's so simple to get on the prayer chain. On that card, remember these things I said I'm going to have you fill out? Just write somewhere on there, please put me on the prayer chain and put your email address. Cheryl will add you on immediately when she gets the card. Then when we're praying for someone and a need that's urgent that we want to get everybody praying for, you're going to know. You're going to get that right away. Sign up, pray. And speaking of prayer, here's a ninth point of application. You know what? This is really on my heart. I always heard through the years stories, and I saw it too after 9/11. Whenever there's a crisis, God's people come out to pray. See, because now we really need to pray. I guarantee that the believers in Ukraine are praying, okay? Many of them, many more probably than ever before, are gathering to pray. I heard about when we were in Florida that the churches of Florida were filled right around the time of the Cuban Missile Crisis, right? Because the U.S. and the Soviet Union could go to war at any minute. So we better go to church and pray. This church, right after 9/11, I was here. That's when we came. And this church was much more full from people. You know, Twin Towers just went down. We could have another terrorist attack at any time. People came to pray. Once they saw, okay, things are kind of blowing over back to normal, they went away. So why not just pray no matter what, even if there's not a crisis motivating us, just because we're convinced that God works his sovereign will through prayer. So every Wednesday morning at 7 a.m., that's not that early. I started it at 7 a.m. so that people could come and pray before they go to work. Come join us at 7 o'clock. I wish you would join us and come pray. Here's another one. You ever notice that the church sign gets changed each week? You want to help out? See Steve Schroyer out in the lobby, okay? Here's another one. This last week, it was fun. I think it was about a week ago. Yeah, I'm going to talk about the Chaffins right there, okay? So there's that tall young gal, Annalena, and her mom, okay, Alicia. And they came up to me and they said, you know, Pastor Paul, I'm noticing nobody's been ringing the church bell. And I hadn't even noticed that, okay? Because no one's doing it. So can we do it? I love that. I told him, by the way, that I was going to mention him and hopefully embarrass you guys a little bit. That's what I hope, is that we see a need, or we used to do this, why aren't we doing it now? Can I do it? Okay, but I do want to tell you, as I uphold them as an example, Alicia and Annalena, here's one of my pet peeves on the other side, okay? Because on the other side, there are people who volunteer and they want to meet a need. I'll tell you one of the things that kind of does drive me crazy through the years is the people who come with great ideas, but they want someone else to do them. I have a million and one different ideas, okay? But that's not really fair for me to ask you to do my idea. What I really love, and this is happening even just recently, a ministry that's in proposal right now with Jill Kehoe. I have a burden. I'm going to do it. I want to do it. Can I do this? Okay? So in other words, don't have a burden for someone else. Do something that's on your heart, and we'll try to facilitate that ministry. At any point, at any time, you can always go to Ted Shun and ask him, how can I help with missions? There is always need to help with missions. You can at any time go to Pastor Sam. Say, Pastor Sam, every Sunday I come, the cars are filling up this area. I end up parking way over here when I used to park way over there, and that's a good problem. I park way over here. The ministry is growing for Spanish ministries. What are your needs? How can I help? I'll do anything. You can always go to our chairman, Tom Dowd, and say, Tom, please, I'm just checking in. What can I do to help? What are some things on your plate that I can take off? Okay? Here's a next thing I want to say to you. What ministry is on your heart? What do you really want to do? Not, as I said, for someone else to do. Something you want to initiate and lead. Maybe jot that down. Maybe you've been thinking about it for a while. This is your chance to put that on this card. I will read it. I will pass it on to the elders. Jot it down so we know, so we can pray with you about it. Okay? Back there. Soundboard, PowerPoint. We have this new ministry because of COVID called Livestream. There's always needs there. You want to help out? Go to it. Talk to my son, David. Open eyes. Look around. What's needed? What's missing? What do you want to do? Interact with people. You will see needs. You will see more needs than you can meet if you're involved, if you're open to it. If you don't already, you can begin to give to our church, okay? We have a box out in the lobby. You can give cheerfully and sacrificially. Next, this is number 17, by the way, because I numbered them. Membership. Are you a member of our church? Okay? If you want to join the church, put that down. We try to do it at least once a quarter, and you say, I want to join the church. Put that down right here. You want to be baptized? You need to be baptized. We have three in the works right now. Put that down. I will follow up on you. Number 19, think of different aspects of ministry. How can you help? How can you build up? How can you add on? How can you improve? How can you pray? You know, just this morning, I'm reading through the book of Philippians, which really is one of my all-time favorite books, and it struck me again. In Philippians chapter 2, here's this great apostle, the apostle Paul, and he says this, but I hope, this is Philippians 2, 19 and 20. He says, but I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. Then this is what struck me, knocked me out of my seat. Verse 20, he says, for I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. I'm sending Timothy. He's the only one I have. Verse 21, for they all seek after their own interests, not of those of Christ Jesus. There are so few workers. Be one of the workers. Be one who says, you know, there are a lot of people, you know, serving, but there's so much work, more than they can handle. I want to help out. I want to be a part of it. Here's number 20. In your bulletin, this Sunday, today, we start Elder Diaconate nominations. Nominations for elder, deacon, and deaconess. I hope you take that seriously because we're talking about the leadership of our church. And so every year I put in a handout that talks about the qualifications for elder, deacon, deaconess, and I ask you and we ask you to pray and nominate. Pray about the leadership of our church. Take that seriously. Number 21. Here's a practical idea, something that I do and I love doing it. You get a birthday list every month. Do you notice that? Now, we try to keep that current. And if your name doesn't show up on that list, tell Cheryl so it'll be on there in the future, okay? If you follow that birthday list throughout the year, you can text every person on the day of his birthday, her birthday, and you will then have interaction at least once a year with the entire church. Think about that, okay? Do people love to hear happy birthday? I do, okay? You do. You can text, you can call. It's very simple. And that whole church in a year will be contacted by you. Isn't that amazing? I just think that's amazing. Okay, here's number 22. We don't always say it. These blue cards are encouragement cards. If you write a note to somebody, you just need to put their name. If you have their address, great. But if you just have their name and write a note over here, you put that in the offering box, we'll mail that for you. If you've ever sent out a blue card, if you've ever received one, you know how encouraging it is to get one of these. You'll be encouraged to do one, send one. You'll be encouraged to receive one. They're always there. Okay? One more time. Registration card, correct phone, address, prayer request for the church, for me, for the elders in confidence if you want. You can put that in the box, the offering on the way out. Anything that you want to say to me, this is your chance. Please write it out on there. Do you want to meet up with me or one of the other elders? Write it on there. Do you want me to call you? I'm available. I want to serve you. I'm telling you that. So please take advantage. This is a great opportunity for all of us to grow together. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, how privileged we are in the Lord Jesus Christ to be forgiven for all of our sins, to be reconciled to you, to be immersed into the body of Christ, to be sovereignly gifted, to serve, to build up others, so that we all need one another, we all belong to one another. This body has all of the parts, each one necessary, all united to Jesus Christ, our head, and united to one another. And how I pray that as we serve Christ and serve one another, that our unity in the midst of that diversity will put Christ on display, so that the love that we have toward one another would show people this is a supernatural work. These people did not put this together. These people do not sustain this. But these people are different. And so may we be an amazing testimony, Father, of your Son, of the power of the gospel, of in the midst of a fractured world and nation, increasingly we see our nation breaking apart, but may we show something different. Unity, love for one another, not uniformity, but unity with diversity, where we all are using different, distinct gifts to build up one another to the glory of Jesus Christ. That's our prayer. Stir us up, Father. Be glorified this day. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.